Wednesday of the fifth week of Ordinary Time. The first reading is from Genesis chapter 2, verse 14 and following. It's the second account of creation. At the time when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, while as yet there was no field shrub on earth and no grass of the field had sprouted, for the Lord God had sent no rain upon the earth, and there was no man to till the soil, but a stream was welling up out of the earth and was watering all the surface of the ground. The Lord God formed men out of the clay of the ground and blew into his nostrils the breath of life. And so man became a living being. Then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and he placed there the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground, the Lord God made various trees grow that were delightful to look at and good for food, with the tree of life in the middle of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The Lord God then took the man and settled him in the garden of Eden to cultivate and care for it. The Lord God gave man this order: you are free to eat from any of the trees of the garden, except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. From that tree you shall not eat. The moment you eat from it, you're surely doomed to die. This is the word of the Lord. Dear family, this second account of creation is quite different than the first, which goes to show that this is not a scientific journal, but rather is a revelation of God as Father, Creator of everything. In both accounts, men and women are at the center of creation, and all things were created for their good. Now, while the first account, God appears more transcendent, in this account, God appears more intimate. He breathes into the nostril of Adam to give him life. And then we will see that he creates the woman out of the side of Adam. It is a call to know that we are to be intimate, that we belong to one another, that we should be near and close to each other. And God created man out of clay, which is something humble. When we begin Lent, we say, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And yet, this dust that we are, once God breathes his love, becomes a son, a daughter. And so we're both humble and frail, and at the same time, we share in the divine life, the life of God himself. Jesus, too, who is God, become man, he becomes little and frail as we are. Now, God placed at the center of the garden the tree of knowledge of good and evil. What does this mean? It's a very mysterious tree. It means that there are limits to man. Man is not God, and man cannot pretend to control everything, to know everything. And so he's not to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, of course, God wants us to know what is right and wrong. The problem here is that Adam and Eve were tempted by the serpent to believe that they themselves were the judges of good and evil. They will sit on the throne and decide what's right and wrong instead of accepting God's way, God's authority, God's teaching of what is right and wrong. So, by eating this from this tree of knowledge, they would think, we don't need God anymore. We know what's right and wrong on our own. Isn't that quite common today? It's my own opinion. It's the way I think. And we don't search for the truth outside of ourselves. We don't seek God to say, Lord God, what is the truth? I want to know your ways. And I'm willing to renounce to my ways. That is why Jesus, who came to set us free from the lie of having eaten from this tree, Jesus is totally obedient and trusts in the Father. Your will be done, not my will. And this is the antidote for having eaten from this tree that represents pride, that represents that we don't need God to tell us what to do. Now, notice that Adam was to cultivate and care for the garden. That was his responsibility. Now, God created everything beautiful, but it's awaiting for man to bring from the land, from what has been given to him, the fruits, to bring all of creation into the purpose for which it was created. In other words, man needed to cooperate with God. Nature is beautiful. It's good. And man is called to bring it to fulfillment. Now, notice that in this account, as of yet, the woman has not been created. So, Adam is in charge of cultivating and caring for the land even before we have any mention of Eve. That is why Adam is so responsible for what happened with the lie of the serpent. He was not doing his job. He was not caring and protecting the land that was given to him. He was not caring and protecting his wife, and therefore the serpent could get into his realm. In other words, the fathers are responsible to protect their wives and to protect their homes from the incursion of the serpent, so that the family is not seduced and goes into sin and into death. So let us now go to the gospel, which is Mark 7:14 and following. Jesus summoned the crowd again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. Nothing that enters one from outside can defile that person, but the things that come out from within are what defile." When he got home, away from the crowd, his disciples questioned him about the parable. He said to them, "Are even you likewise without understanding? Do you not realize that everything that goes into a person from outside cannot defile, since it enters not the heart, but the stomach, and passes out into the latrine? Thus he declared all food clean. But what comes out of the man, that is what defiles him. From within the man, From his heart come evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, folly. All these evils come from within, and they defile. The Gospel of the Lord. Dear family, when Jesus summons the crowds and tells them, "Hear me and understand," we know that he's speaking not only to them, but to all the people of all generations. This is most important because he's about to revolutionize the whole understanding of religion that the Jewish people had. You see, here we're going to see what is the underlying conflict between Jesus and the Pharisees. And it is that up to now, the law of Torah, the law of the Jews, was based on ritual performance. Satisfying certain rituals of the law will make you clean. And so there was all kinds of regulations about kosher foods that you could eat and not eat, things that you have to do, like the washing of the hands and so forth. The Lord is saying that was only a preparation, a symbol. But what really brings about union with God, what really fulfills the covenant relationship, is communion of the heart. And so it is no longer important what we eat or don't eat, whether we wash hands or not, not even if we're circumcised or not. What is important is what is coming out of the heart. Because what comes into the mouth goes into the stomach and to the latrine. But what comes out of the heart, that is either the good or the evil intentions that come from the enemy. And so no longer are persons defiled and considered unclean, which means unfit for worship of God, because of the things that they eat or because of ritual actions that they do. Now we must be attentive to what is coming out of our heart from within. Already in the Old Testament, the prophets announce that this is the way. Isaiah, Joshua, Hosea, Amos, Ezekiel, they spoke about this. It's not just sacrifices. God looks at the heart. But now, in Jesus Christ, there is going to be the outpouring of the Holy Spirit so that we can truly live with new hearts. This is the fulfillment of what Ezekiel dreamed and in prophecy, that we will receive a new heart and not longer have a heart of stone. Now, we need to understand the heart in the biblical sense is not only the source of emotions like grief, anxiety, and joy, but also it is the source of thought, will, and conscience. All this have to now be aligned with God, because God is going to enter into us with the Holy Spirit and enlighten our thoughts, strengthen our will, and give us a conscience to know this is right and this is wrong. And so Jesus is not advocating for some kind of laxity of life. In fact, following the way of Christ is going to call for profound discipline and battle against Satan, the ability to get to know ourselves, to enter into a knowledge of our wounds, our flaws, our sins, so that we can repent and turn to the Lord. And all this is great, a great battle. But we're not doing it on our own. God is with us, and He is giving us the grace step by step. And so, purity of heart is the new revelation here. A purity of heart that comes from entering into a really intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus. And therefore, what was symbolic, the ritual purity, is now rendered obsolete. This was a revolutionary change for the Jews. And it should be also revolutionary for us because, my dear family, we're still often confused about this. And we need to know the importance of entering into our hearts, discerning what is right and wrong, begging for the Holy Spirit to bring us into a right relationship with Jesus Christ, and therefore we can live the covenant. God bless you.